Welcome to Geeks of the North, a hobby and gaming podcast in the Dolph of Angus. We're here to paint some miniatures and talk about the hobby, so why don't you sit back, relax, grab a paintbrush, and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome back to Geeks of the North, your hobby and gaming podcast of Belle Provence. As always, I am your delightful host, Paul Filion, here with my delicious co-host, who's looking very suave, by the way, the new haircut, Antoine Bergeron.
Mm-hmm, thank you. How are you doing, Paul?
I am doing, I'm doing okay. I just got back from vacation. I went away, to the Caribbean for a week. Took my, my mummy on a cruise. Left the wife and kids behind. I came back to find out I'm still married, so it's all good. How are you?
I'm doing good too. Nothing, big like that. I couldn't tell if you had any tan because of the light.
I don't really tan. Pictures.
But yeah, that's what I assume.
I'm pretty... So, okay, that's not entirely true. I can tan.
But it probably needs a lot of
I'm time. Fairly swarthy to begin with. I'm not exactly pale. So, and when I tan, I turn a very, very... dark, like, golden brown. If I was a pancake, I'd be delicious. but I have to sit out in the sun to do that, and since I don't care for the sun, it doesn't happen. I've had the heat stroke a bunch of times, and it basically means I'm super susceptible to it now, so I try to avoid sitting out in the sun and tanning, if at all possible.
Yeah, that's a good plan.
Yeah, heat stroke sucks. So what's new with you, buddy?
Not much, really. Not much. It's been, like you said, you were out for a week, so we didn't record. And it's been a slow week for me, hobby-wise.
Just no hobby mojo without your Paul.
Yeah, yeah. I was too sad, curling a ball in the corner of my workshop.
Wow, okay,
with the dust bunnies.
You don't have to ham it up that much. No one's going to believe that. Even I don't believe that.
Yeah, no, I finished a bunch of projects and I painted really a lot for myself, for how much I usually do in November. And I think I needed a break, but I also needed to clean. My workshop was a mess. Also, I got all my new casting equipment, so I need to clean up my casting table, clean up the whole room, needed time and some love. So that's what I've been doing mostly in the last week.
Yeah, I've been, I didn't do any of that in the last week. I was too busy, swimming in the ocean and, sitting in the shade on deck, watching young women in bikinis walk by. I would just like to say thank God for dark sunglasses. And God bless modern bikini designers. And there goes every female listener we've ever had. I swear to God, I'm not a pig. I'm just a man. But while I was sitting there being lecherous, I... did a lot of planning for painting. I got a large order of figures for Judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And I've kind of been, you know, thinking about colors and what... crud, I just slipped. And what I want to do. Because I find that tends to make painting projects go faster.
Oh, yes, for sure.
And also, I'm very prone to using the same palette over and over and over again. There are colors I like, and it shows if you look at my stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to change it up a bit. So it takes time to kind of think outside your comfort zone and really, really consider what your options are. So I'm doing a lot of that, especially since these models are rather expensive.
Yeah, you don't want to just rush them.
Exactly. I'll be honest, I'm finding it tough. I'm actually working on that same model tonight that I was working on a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible I've actually been working on for the last two episodes. I'm not sure. Because aside from my recording time, I haven't really spent any time painting them. I don't want to say I'm getting bored with them, but I'm finding it a bit tough at this point. I'm not used to working such long hours on one model.
Yeah, that's something you usually
do. And I know it doesn't seem like that long. It's been probably, I don't know, 5 hours or something total. But for me, that's like an eternity. So I find it tough. And I hear you giggling over there. I can't help it if I'm usually a very...
fast and prolific.
I was going to say fast and lazy painter. But I'll take prolific. Prolific. I'll take that. It's really outside my comfort zone to take this long on a model.
But the model looks good, so.
Yeah, and he's coming along. I'm down to doing like detail work, and that's also kind of tedious. It's, you know, he's got 8 million beads and bobs and, you know, feathers in his hair and all kinds of stuff, and like little bits of leather tying up strands of hair, you know, and braids and stuff. So it's just a lot of like small, for lack of a better term, crap to paint.
Stuff that you would probably just cover with a wash to make it pop on a smaller model.
Yeah, exactly.
But for this size, you kind of don't want to go too fast because it will show.
That is exactly right. And
you'll probably be happy with the result at the end.
Oh, I'm sure I will.
But for now.
I just got to stick with it, though. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Often when projects get like this for me, I abandon them, right?
Yeah.
And since I have every intention of playing this game, I can't really abandon it. So it's I'm struggling here. And also I'm trying to do something a bit different. He's got like a beaded necklace.
Mm-hmm.
With like some skulls on it, and everything I've seen of it, every time I've seen it painted, it's painted either like white or painted silver, like it's metal beads. And being in the Caribbean this week, I saw a lot of semi-precious stones used in jewelry. And there's this one that really caught my eye, and I can't remember what it's called. I want to say it's called, it's Lana something. It's a semi-precious stone found in the Dominican Republic. And it wasn't discovered that long ago, but it's this nice kind of turquoisey blue. So I decided I'm making the beads those colors. Because I figured also that bright color will pop in contrast to like the brown fur and the dark gold that I'm doing on the model.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll still have he's got skulls and stuff on the necklace. So I thought, yeah, I'll do it, you know, in that super bright color. And that'll make it pop. And then, you know, it'll look really cool with the bones and stuff on it. So I'm working on that right now. And I'm trying desperately not to slip because, of course, the beaded necklace goes into like a recess on him where a bunch of the fur is. And one slip would be a lot of correcting.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do that. So I am trying very hard to not mess it up. I think it looks pretty good.
I'm sure it will.
What are you working on tonight?
Dinosaur.
Not what I was expecting.
So, I want to play some Pulp City over either the holidays or early next year, as soon as I can find somebody who wants to play too. And they have rules to play a monster against a team of Supreme. So I raided my kids' toys bin. And found a dinosaur that would fit onto the required base size. But he had the blue eyes and didn't look that menacing. So I just changing the eye color and doing some touch-up to make him pop a bit more. It's I'll probably have maybe 15-20 minutes of work on it. And I'll switch to something else after. I just started.
You know, that is a surprisingly fun game. Let me rephrase that. That makes it sound That is a... I was surprised at how fun that game was. Let me put it that way. Because it's such a... like an indie game. And the first waves of models were not super flattering, shall we say?
Well, the game has been out for more than 10 years now. So they were really small back then. And some of the skulls have changed, are really right? old.
Yeah. But that game is surprisingly well put together. And it's got some really neat aspects. I love the resource management. I'll be honest, that is like my jam now in miniature games, is having a resource to manage. I find that makes all the difference in a lot of games.
And Pulp City, you have three or four, depending if you count your activations as a resource.
That is true, eh? I hadn't thought of that. But when I played it, I did a demo of it just after the last Kickstarter they did a couple years ago. And I actually thought it was... Actually, I was at their booth picking up your Kickstarter stuff.
Yes.
If I recall correctly.
Yes, exactly.
And they asked me if I wanted a demo, and I was like, ah, sure, whatever. And I tried this game, and I tried with our buddy Guillaume. Not the one who was on the show the other week, but the other Guillaume. And it was so fun and cinematic. It really captures that superhero feel. And I haven't tried any other superhero-style games, so I can't compare it to Batman or the Marvel game or whatever, because I just don't know. All I can say is that I thought it was remarkably good for a game that no one's really ever played. I mean, you can tell that they did some good internal playtesting and development. Or they took feedback very well, because, let's face it, aside from feedback, they're probably not getting... There's probably not a whole lot of budget there for development.
Yeah, probably not. It's a small team. Even smaller now, still. It was a small team when they did the Supreme Kickstarter, Supreme Edition, so...
Yeah. I mean, I get that's probably more a case of evolution than revolution between editions.
Yeah.
But it was really fun.
It's one of, if not my favorite game, it's up there. And I'm sad that I really, really don't get it to play it more. So that's why I want to work on that. Maybe it will build up interest, get people to get their stuff out. Or worst case, I'll have something else to bring to Adepticon or CaptainCon if I'm able to go and play there at least once a year.
Is there a... Oh man, that's sad. Is there a chance you're going to CaptainCon with us this year?
Not really, but I'm still trying.
Okay. Fair enough. As they say in Galaxy Quest, never give up, never surrender.
No. And I know that that's one place I'll be able to play it, and it's going to be fun. Played there last year with Devin, which was one of their rules developer. So, and it was a blast. It was super fun. So, I was looking forward to going in again this year, but with Adepticon and CaptainCon being not that far from each other, it's a bit harder to justify with the family time. So,
yeah, I think I cleared it with my wife.
You think?
I seem to recall we discussed it. No, I told Steve I was going, that I had the okay, so I must have gotten the okay at some point. At least that'll be my story, if I find out otherwise. Yeah. But hon, you told me I could go. Kids, don't try that at home.
Don't. Yeah, so working on that big guy. I did his base this week. Well, yesterday, in fact. I just got some thick plastic sheets I had from spare cuts from a friend that works in industrial cutting. So, yeah, it's scraps for me. So I have a box of those half a centimeter, maybe. No, maybe less. Well, various thickness anyway. So kind of a like huge plastic art. So cut a base for the dinosaur. Did a sidewalk. So the base kind of matched the civilians I have for the game. So right now there's just some sand drying to add some texture to it. And it's going to hit the painting table next. After the small touch-up to the dinosaur. And after that, I'm not sure. We have, I said we because you were part of it originally, but there's a small Guild Ball get-together that we're having next weekend. And I might try to paint Veteran Gutter this week, but I'm not sure. I'm going to play my Butchers anyway, so... And being one of my Butchers, it takes longer to work on. So I'm not sure I want to rush her or if I have the time this week to work on her. So not sure yet what I'll do next. I might just revert back to cleaning once we're done this recording session.
Wow.
Well, I have other projects I want to start, but everything is bigger. And with the holidays break, I don't know what I want to start because it... Like, most of the projects are completely new game. So that's a lot of cleaning, getting stuff ready, working on bases.
Don't forget, you'll have something else coming in, too.
Yes, so other stuff, yeah. I have one of the... in your order of judgment, there's a model for me in there, too. So there's that. And I finally got my... Moonstone trade in. So I have that. I have an aerial that I want to work on too. So that's all new games. And also there's, I want to do, it's been for a while, I wanted to do a custom board for Pulp City. So there's that project, but that's a big project and that requires time and dedication. So cleaning the workshop was something I had to do before working on a new terrain project.
Yeah, I got a couple things I want to work on. So I got, like I said, the Judgment Fix coming in, and today I got my Privateer Press, or I guess I came in last week while I was away. I opened it today. It was the Privateer Press mini crate for last month, I guess, and it was the Santa Claus Butcher Fig.
Oh, yes.
And for some reason, I am being drawn to it. So I'm kind of like, well, I would like to paint that. Go back to my Kador roots. I haven't painted anything Privateer Press in a few months. So. And also, I'm kind of getting the urge to go back to my blacksmiths. Because I keep looking at the models I have done, and the two I have done look quite good, I would say. And it's encouraging me to paint more. But that's a long road. I mean, it's 12 models, and each one takes a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, long road, like 40K is a long road. And then there's that, too, right? There's 40K stuff I looked at that I picked up. Travel down that dark road. Yeah. All right. I unpacked some paints before the show, so I'd be ready to go. And now I can't find the paints I unpacked. Typical Paul.
Yeah, I said I didn't work on much, but there's some stuff I worked on in the last week. Like, during the last recording, I was working on my Fyro Brigand Warlord.
Yeah.
He's been finished and played in a game of Company of Iron. So that was cool with Mathieu Sewa, one of our locals and listener. Apart from that, in the couple of days after that, I painted granite for the mason. After playing with brick a couple of times, I was really unimpressed with him. And luckily, the local store still had some of the blisters for some single blisters for Guild Ball, so I got an extra model and Rush painted her too. Well, Rush. It's a metal model, so I took more time than I did for the plastic one, but it was still faster than what I usually do for my other Guild Ball pieces. But she's got painted, and she was played in a game too last week.
And she looks gorgeous.
Yeah, and it's after that I hit my painting slump after finishing Granite. So the rest after that was, as I said, cleaning. But I did some other painting, but it was not for me. After a game night at Oracle Store at Labis, I had to wait for my wife. She was at her Christmas job party.
Her work Christmas party. Yeah.
Work Christmas party. Yeah. So I had a couple of hours to lose. So, and I didn't exactly know by what time she would end, so I couldn't start a big game or go watch a movie or anything. So I just asked them if there was something I could help with, and I patched up some terrain, painted the chips and glued stuff back on and stuff like that. So small way to help them and thank them for the play space when I don't buy stuff.
Yeah, you know, that's a great idea, and I should maybe do something like that too, because, you know, I play there too, and I don't buy a lot.
Yeah, me neither, because most of the games we play, well, in my case, mostly, they don't stock that there. So I buy paint once in a while, a model of Guild Ball or two, but the rest, most of what I play, I need to order online direct from the...
Yeah, well, it's indie games, right?
From them, yeah. So the store can stock all those small games. So helping with the terrain was a mean to...
It's a way to pay them back a little bit.
Yeah, pay them back. Pay them back. That's a good way to say it.
That is a great approach. Yeah. Kudos to you, sir.
Yeah. It was fun. It was something I don't do much, so... And it was a base coat and dry brush, some quick work, but still, it corrected I think six piece of Necron team terrain. So they're better now than they were. So
yeah, that's all that matters, right?
Yeah,
and that's time they didn't have to pay someone to do it, and G does a lot for, you know. Like, Guild Ball doesn't really bring him any money.
No, I don't
think
so.
But he gives us space, and he lets us play there, and he's always willing to let us run a tournament there. And
he support. Like, he let us play there, he doesn't charge, and he gives price support on top of that. So,
yeah.
It's hard to have any complaint.
Yeah, no, exactly. And
they are working so much on the store. I don't know if you've went since the...
Well, they expanded.
Expanded again, yeah.
Yeah, I was there when they first started taking down the walls, and I've been there a couple times since as they now took over the whole basement of that building.
Yeah, and that's getting huge now. They have a couple of private rooms for RPGs or board game sessions now that weren't there. They added.
You know, I think the space they took over used to be a clinic or something, right?
So I don't know exactly what it was, but...
I think those were examination rooms that became...
That's entirely possible. But yeah, and it added a second bathroom, which is something good.
Yep.
At that size. More storage space for them, too. And with that increment... We're doing the nationals, the Guild Ball East National, once again in Montreal next year. And it will be held at Abyss, but with that expansion, we're able to double the attendance. Well, double the space available. The attendance
going to 64?
Remains to be seen. Yeah, but yeah, we're doubling from 32 to 64 for next year because of that. Without having to find a new venue.
That's pretty cool. And I don't remember, you sold out last year. Right?
Yes, we did.
Was it a long time to sell out, or was it fairly quick?
It took a while.
But Guild Ball is also on an upswing right now, right? Because of the new edition. If that momentum carries forward for the next 6 months, you'll be happy that you got that extra space.
Mm-hmm. And we had really good comments about the event. So most people want to come back.
You guys did an excellent job organizing. And you had good prize support. I mean, those tournament trays you had were amazing. no. But seriously, you had great prize support too, right? Which is always nice.
Yep. And we've started working on that prize support also. Last year, one of the things we did was everybody got a small swag item, which was a ball token themed for Canada, which was a curling stone.
And everyone got a template too, didn't they?
A movement template, the L one, the 1-2-3 inches.
Yeah,
from the store, but well, from us, but with the store logo. So this year we're not doing a new ball token, but we're doing something that keeps with the team. So you can expect something new that will fit if you still have the last year item.
Well, I can't see why anyone would get rid of it. That was an amazing ball token. Everywhere I go, people talk about that ball token.
Yeah.
And I'm not even just saying that because, you know, you're here and I have to be nice to you. Like, it's... Everyone seriously loves that ball token. And I've messed up my ball again. Yay! I'm doing a good job with that today.
Yeah, so posting there again. The story is really fun. It's air conditioned, which is.
And that, remember when it wasn't air conditioned? Because he added that.
Yeah, that was.
Like, he's invested a ton of money. And let's be honest, there's no way he's making that money back.
Not that fast. That's
no. No, it's more of a labor of love, right? He wants to make it a special place. And it's always good when a store owner's like that.
Yep. Oh yeah, for sure.
And I think we've been fortunate enough to have a couple store owners who kind of viewed it that way. Yeah, you know, to varying degrees.
Yeah. But this one seems to be able to stay afloat.
Yeah, and that's also something like that's tough in this business.
Yeah, there's a lot of movement, a lot of closing and new shops, but
well, it's because most gaming shops are opened by gamers.
Yeah,
and you may not know the secret, Antoine, but most gamers make lousy businessmen. That's and just in case anyone is listening who might be offended by that statement, I was not talking about anyone in particular. It was just a blanket statement. Because it's easy to dream, but hard to execute.
Mm-hmm. For sure. I'm just happy we still have a gaming store that do miniatures, because in Montreal, most of those closed. There's not many left.
No.
Or at least that really want to do miniature and don't just sell them and don't have any yet. Gaming space.
Any support for that community, yeah. But you know what, though? I hate to say it, but I don't blame any store that doesn't want to deal with the miniature community.
Because
In general, there is no loyalty there, right? There's no...
In that and anything else. We've heard that for Magic 2, where people just buy online and then go for just the events. Same thing for miniatures. People go online, buy used, and just use the tables.
And some games, there's huge, like, used aftermarkets, right?
Yeah.
I mean, War Machine, just as an example, has a huge, like, you know, buy-sell trade community.
Yeah. That and 40K, too.
Yeah. But 40K's release cycle is so aggressive.
Yeah, at least
there's always new stuff, you know?
Buying. Yeah, for sure.
War Machine's not quite that case.
You said you didn't play any games in the last 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, no, I figured it would be bad karma to go out and play games
just before leaving for a couple
for a week. Yeah. Yeah. I figured if I wanted to come home to a marriage and a family, I had better stay at home that last week. And just to be clear, my wife did not stop me from going out.
No, it's you.
I chose to, yeah. Because she would never say, oh, no, stay home. Unless there's a problem or something, of course. But
Yeah. I did play some. I already mentioned two. But I just wanted to, the last game I played the night I went to the store was a game of Aristea. I finally had a full game of it. The last time it was mostly just an intro. And
is that with Mark?
Yeah, with Mark again this time. We were four players, but the timing made that I was playing with Mark again. And I had so much fun with it.
That's also like a MOBA-style game, isn't it?
Yeah, kind of. For how much it could fit the team. I don't play MOBAs, so I have a slight idea of how it works, and I think it kind of fits with the.
I understand what you're saying. It's just. Yeah.
But, yeah.
But you don't know for sure because it's not what you do. I get it.
Yeah, but the game was really fun. So, I wasn't. I already liked my intro, but now with this first full game, that's really selling the game to me.
Well, we've got one on order for you, so.
Yep, I know. So, I'm quite eager to get that and show it to you and Yom. I know Yom will like it because he loves Infinity, and it's finally a game we would play in that setting with him. So, I'm sure he'll play just for that.
It doesn't use Infinity models, though, right?
Some of the models are from the Infinity backgrounds or even armies. There are some crossovers.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah.
They're not exactly the same, but like it's new versions of those models. But like Senor Massacre, I think, is a model for either Nomads or Mercenary. And he made the switch from being in the army to Aristea, which is in the setting, they're televised violent TV sport, kind of a.
Okay, it's their version of Slaughterama.
Yeah, maybe something in that vein.
So some
models, some characters in the setting are made the switch from warfare to televised combat.
Okay. Interesting.
So, there are some figures we can...
Does it use the same crappy Infinity rules? Or did it
No, the rules are totally different.
Oh.
So, the only thing that are similar are the sitting and some of the characters' names. But that's
Do the rules read like they were written in Spanish, translated to French, then translated the French copy to English? Because if no, I'm already interested.
I can't say the rules are perfect, but I didn't have problem with them. They're written in the same way that like bullet pointed, like Infinity is. But they have less variation and are more. It's more of a board game with miniatures, so I think it fits well. And there's less interpretation possible. So I have no problem reading the rules or finding stuff in them.
Okay, are there grenades in the game?
No. And that was corrected with the last edition anyways.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah. There's no longer any throw the grenade 20 inches behind when you was just dropping it at your feet. That's no longer in there.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good to know.
Maybe I've not played it, but I know it's been corrected.
Maybe I'll have to check out that new edition of Infinity. They have gorgeous models, right?
Yep. That's
and
for
the
sure.
setting was super cool. But the rolling mechanics used to throw me, and that's the weird stuff. That yeah, and the yeah, one thing I never quite understood was the orders, right? The secret order that was your that can only be issued by your captain or whatever.
Your lieutenant or something.
Your lieutenant, yeah, whatever it's called, yeah. But you had to keep that order a secret somehow. But you had to activate the lieutenant to use that one. I was like, what? Well, if I have to activate the model, like, don't I have to say who I'm activating? How the heck do you know? And when I asked that question online, the answers I got were hilarious. Yeah, basically amounted to distract your opponent, say you're activating the guy, be super vague about who you're activating. I'm like, okay, but that sounds kind of cheaty and wrong. It was weird. I have to see a real game played.
Yeah.
We tried to play the game. That's the other thing, right? When you first... Anyone looking to try Infinity, take a table, pack it full of terrain, and then double it. Because I guarantee you don't have enough terrain on that table.
Oh, we didn't have that problem when we tried the game. We put probably too much.
All I remember is one of the... I tried the game years ago, and then they came out with a new edition. I tried it again with our buddy Chris Sitaris, and there was like half his army was dead on turn one. Due to, you know, just bad positioning on his part and crazy rolling on my part. But it didn't make for a terribly interesting game. So we re-racked and tried again, and like basically a similar thing happened the second time. And we're like, okay, we're done. Then we thought we had a lot of terrain. It's a unforgiving game.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. And it's not for everybody. I see the merit in it, but I don't like playing it. So it's not like I could defend it that much.
No, I don't think it doesn't need to be defended. My opinion carries so much weight in the world that, poor Corvus Belli are going to suffer because I said I didn't like the game. But the honest truth is I want to like the game. I like their models. I've got an army for it. All thanks to Beast of War. They did an Infinity Week, and I watched all their videos, and I was like, I'm going to play this game. And now here we are.
Yep. You failed marketing.
Apparently. Apparently.
So, I went a bit overboard with the dinosaur, and I'm dry brushing scales right now. Did the teeth, did the belly, the eyes, and the crest, but it's done now. Finally finished.
Is anything ever truly finished, Antoine?
Oh, yes. It's a plastic toy.
I'm just saying, buddy.
I have caoutchouc in mine. I don't know how. Rubber?
Rubber, yep.
Yeah, it's like plastic rubber dinosaur toy that the kids will probably want to reclaim after the game. So it's not like...
Still like I do, and tell them you don't know what happened to it.
Yeah. But he looks better. He's going to be fun to play on the table. So now I just need minions for him, so I'll need to... hit the toy bin again, but go for the smaller ones and steal a couple.
Just go to the dollar store and get your own dinosaurs.
I paid for those tiny dinosaurs in their toy bin. I can get them.
Wow. Cutthroat.
But yeah, I'm not sure they have the size I need anyway, so I'll probably have to go to the dollar store. And find something else.
That was pretty brutal. You made part of their kidneys too. Are you going to take those away from them?
If I need.
Whoa there. Okay. Antoine went all dark.
But yeah, no. Nothing like that. It's just.
I don't know where we go from here now.
Yeah.
Antoine's more of a monster than I thought. moving along.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, I think I have no choice. I will start working on Gutter because I don't have anything else to paint.
Oh, my brush is all splayed. It's like I'm painting with a Games and Gears brush. Hold on. Let me fix this.
Well, that helps with painting parallel lines.
You laugh. I'm actually painting linen, so it's like adding texture to it.
That's great. So it fits. Exactly what I told you.
Fits, but it still looks like crap, so I'm going to have to do something with this. This model looks so good. Maybe I'm going to try to go gaming on Wednesday, actually. Well, we are rambling all over the place. You can tell we don't have a firm topic for this week. And if I can, I'd like to take him along to show people.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure there will be interest in it.
Well, the nice thing about this game is that, you know, one person buys the models and then, you know, you can...
If you play with the draft format, you don't need multiples, so...
Yep. Though looking at some of the rules, I think there's some things you always want to take.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are they called? Soul Gazers? Is that the guys that are easy to capture souls?
Yes.
Like, I can't see ever not wanting to take one.
Mm-hmm. But there are multiple of them, so...
Yeah, you'll have to pick which one you take. Absolutely. Yeah.
In theory, isn't there, like, just four style and the full game is five models, so you could double up on a class anyway.
Yeah. Well, I think some people, I read that some people take two in their five-man list,
mm-hmm.
because in tournament format, it's pick and ban. So because you get to ban a model, they take two, because often the soul gazers get banned.
Yeah.
So they take two, so they still have an option. Healers are also apparently popular banning targets.
We'll learn that by playing more.
Yep. Soon. I hope. I really enjoyed that first game we played. Mind you, I really enjoy everything I play with you. Let's supposed to be honest. We're of a similar mindset in a lot of things, so... Our games tend to be enjoyable.
Yep, they are.
This is not going as planned, Antoine. Well, it's too late to stop now. Just...
Yep.
Have to keep painting and hope somehow I get to bring it back to life.
Anything else you want to add from our regular week? Or we go for the news?
Yeah, we can go for the news. We've been talking... Jeez, we've been talking for nearly 50 minutes.
Already? By not seeing much.
It's amazing how fast time goes when you're talking crap.
Okay.
All right.
Well, give me so let's see. I'll rinse my brush and get those news up. So there are two items I want to talk about. The first one is a Kickstarter. We shared that Kickstarter, I think, on Twitter after we stopped doing the news, but before we started the podcast back again. But it failed, sadly, at the first try, but they are coming back for it, and they are doing pretty well right now. So this is a miniature board game called War for Chicken Island by Draco Studio.
Oh my god, I'm looking at this artwork. I don't remember covering this, Antoine, but I love it.
No, we didn't cover it. I just shared it straight on Twitter, on the podcast Twitter.
I don't even care if the game is bad.
I just want awesome. The miniatures.
The models look awesome.
So you have all kinds of tiny chicken fighters, and they have not vehicles, but golems and stuff like that.
Samurai chicken.
Amazing.
The beefy chicken carrying the boat anchor. Oh my. Done. $57 US pledged.
That's about it.
When is this going to ship? I don't really care. As long as I get it eventually.
October, in theory. October 2019.
Yeah, as I say, October, we're in December, but October next year?
Yep.
Tempting. How many days left?
10 days, so by about a week by the time we will release the show. So the artwork for it is super cool. The miniatures are really nice. If you like...
Chickens?
Chickens, stupid chicken cartoons. check for it.
Hey,
look at it.
I watch Paw Patrol almost every day with my kids. I have a thing for stupid chickens. She's the best character on that show.
Let's say that.
Well, come on. How can you not like Chicoletta? Antoine has no comment. Okay.
No. Oh, no, I'm looking at the other cooler chicken on this Kickstarter project.
There's a lot of cool chicken miniatures. I didn't think it was possible to have a cool chicken. But the Mecha Chicken Dragon, you know, what more can you say?
So many cool projects.
I mean, these are all words I did not expect to make one word.
Yeah,
Mecha Chicken and Dragon. Yeah.
Mecha
these are not dragon. Things I ever expected. And all I can say is I like it.
Overkill. The chicken with the eye patch.
Hold on, I missed that. I was busy trying to paint.
Yeah, the eye patch doesn't show more. It doesn't show much. But when you look at the artwork, it's clearly there. So I don't know if it will translate well to the miniature. But
well, they have the render. The miniature is there at the bottom of the render.
Yeah, but it's kind of the bad angle to see if it's just an eye or an eye patch.
Yeah. Was Overkill not an add-on? What's the term I'm looking for?
Stretch goal.
Unlock? Stretch goal?
Yeah.
And it looks like it's Catan, right? In some regards, like, you need to build this, you need 3 wood and 2 chickens. Like,
yeah, it's a mix of a skirmish game and tile control, I think.
Oh my god. Abigail, the Death Knight chicken. I got
Megadeth, the shaman. They just look cool.
Oh my goodness. Il Palazzo with the giant shoulder pads. Oh. Folks, do yourselves a favor.
Yeah.
Go check out this Kickstarter.
Oh, for sure. And we need a
little
copy.
Laugh a little.
We need to pledge. Okay, so that was the first one.
How do you follow that up, man?
Yeah, so as
you
we
led mentioned, with, you should have led with Mr. Lee's Minis.
They will have a week left by the time we release this show. They had an initial goal of $18,000. They are now over $80,000, so they are doing really well. And hopefully it will just continue to grow and unlock more cool chickens in the next week.
Things you never thought you'd say in life. Unlock the cool chickens. That has to be up there.
Yeah, probably.
Because I never expected I'd be saying that in my life.
The next one, it's a bust. So it's the Rogue Robot by Trovarian Miniatures, sold by Mr. Lee Minis. It's a 1/12 scale robot of kind of a look like a Middle Eastern desert nomad, but a robot version of that.
He looks like a robot Tusken Raider with Molly Packs.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Now, we've talked about that model before.
Did we?
Back when we did the news, we've talked about this model. Now, obviously, he wasn't out at the time. But I've seen this model before, and that's the only thing I can think of. We would have seen him back then.
Maybe.
He may have been a preview at the time.
Possible.
Because, let's face it, we did do a fair number of previews. But yeah, I've seen him before. That in no way makes him less interesting.
No.
It is a lovely model. Mr. Lee's Minis does good stuff.
So you can order it. It's £30, cast in resin. So if you're into mix of sci-fi but not pure robots, you like cloth on your robots. Take it again.
Cast out of 100% pure, awesome.
It makes me think of a Nakislam and Android for Infinity.
Yeah. Wow. I guess we've got Infinity on the brain now. But that's actually a great way to describe it, because he does have the kind of the Arabian Nights look to him, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's the two items I wanted to share. That's about it for me for this week.
Hold on. I'll be able to comment and focus more once I've got this done. I haven't wrecked it. Yay! I did it. Okay. Sorry. There's this little necklace on that I've repainted 6 times tonight because I keep ham-fisting it and messing up. So I'm very happy now it's done. Yeah, I really think it's a cool model. And there's a lot of different textures and stuff on him. So he's not just a robot, right? You've got all the cloth. You've got, like, the molly bags with all the weave on them. There's just a ton of neat detail. I think he'll be a challenging figure to do. Yeah, speaking of challenging figures to do, you know how we've talked about the Albertan Society for Albertan Painters, whatever the heck that group is, yes, in Alberta? And they released that really cool ninja model, right?
Yes.
The ninja bust, and Yom's been painting it.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to give a little shout-out to Yom here. People who don't know who he is. Facebook page is Yom Le Machine, isn't it?
Yom, yes, Le Machine. Yom Le Machine, yeah.
Yeah. So Yaumlamachine. He's doing that model right now, and it looks gorgeous. He always surprises me when he decides to up his game a little bit, because frankly, he does it far too often. It's almost inhuman, and I'm beginning to think that he is a robot sent by aliens. Just saying. I must be learning to be kind to our robot overlords. Because
mm-hmm.
Someday all these insults I've been throwing his way are going to come back to haunt me.
And you're starting with Yom?
Well, he's the only robot I've insulted recently. Unless you're talking about the bartending robot on the boat, because it decided to break down the one day and decided I want to get a drink from it. Yeah, by the way, cruise ship had a robotic bartender. Just saying. What will they think of next? Yeah, so a little shout-out to Yom there. That figure looks awesome. I think he's maybe painting it for a contest or something, although I'm unsure. Or it's possibly just painting it for him.
Yeah, I think so, and depending on the result, it might be one of the pieces he will bring to Crystal Brush.
Yeah, well, it's looking fantastic. I need to learn to paint more like him and you and less like me. That's what my takeaway is for 2018. New Year's resolution, paint less sucky. All right. On that note, is there anything you'd like to add, Antoine?
Nope, that covers it for me.
Okay, well, then I guess we'll sign off for this week. It has been a pleasure, as always. And hopefully we won't have the horrific audio we had last show.
I don't think we will. It was so horrific you had to take a week off.
A week vacation, yes. Well, I had someone tell me they had to stop listening to it because it was so crap. Like at that point, I was like, oh, man, it's been years since we've had a show that bad.
Yeah.
But we were like, sorry, Bill, on that, I guess, before I go. We were plagued by like all kinds of problems. I made a new mistake in the editing. So I'd lost my original files to go back to when I found there was a problem with the sync. So we had the choice of either release it with the sync issue or not release it at all. Plus there was an echoing issue from Yom's track. Yom hadn't recorded with us in a long time, and he didn't want to use the mic setup we'd originally been using for the show. He wanted to use something else. And I was like, yeah, it should be fine. And I never considered the consequences of what I'd said. And it led to other problems, which I don't hold Yom responsible for, because, you know, he did ask me and I told him it was okay. And I completely forgot that what happened. I forgot that what would happen, and then it did happen. And then, yeah. So I blame no one but myself for that. So you get off the hook. You get out of jail free card, Yom. One time only.
One time only.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So, Antoine, I will see you next week.
Mm-hmm.
Happy holidays to you and all our listeners.
Yeah, to you too, my friend.
No matter what religion and what you celebrate, spend some time with your family. Appreciate them. And that's it. I'll see you next time.
Bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth, or follow us on Twitter at geeksofthenorth. You can follow me, Paul, at PRFilio, Antoine at Eltonio Berg, Steve at B_Steve, and if you really feel the need, I guess you can follow Yom. He's at Yomasta. Breaks and outro music by La Drave. You can listen to them at ladrave.bandcamp.com. See you next time, geeks.
Thank you for checking out a United Geeks Network family member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to UnitedGeeksNetwork.com, where you will find Rolling Dice and Taking Names, a podcast by guys who have a passion for tabletop games and happen to have mics. They discuss all forms of tabletop gaming, from board games to miniatures to RPGs. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at UnitedGeeksNetwork.com.